The cooling economy, high food and gas prices, and snowstorms take a bite out of GDP.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Steve Chiatakis. The country's GDP grew a dismal 1.8% in the first quarter of the year. Gross domestic product is a measure of all the goods and services a country produces. It's considered to be one of the most important economic indicators. Here to talk GDP with us is David Weiss, chief economist with Standard & Poor's. He joins us live. David, good morning.
Good morning.
David, why did the economy grow so slowly in the first quarter?
Well, I think you hit on the main things. Obviously, weather was a problem. Remember January and February, everybody was snowed in. They couldn't get to the shop. In addition, of course, oil prices are double where they were early last year. We're up around over $100, gasoline approaching $4. That's a strain on pocketbooks. And then the rise in food prices, which in turn was largely caused by the bad weather, took another bite out of people's paychecks.
Well, the snow is obviously temporary, but oil prices are still really high, gas prices are high, and food prices continue to be pretty high. Do you expect GDP will grow more next quarter?
Well, the weather should improve. Obviously, that's going to help. The food prices are actually starting to come down, particularly the fruit and vegetable prices that spiked up so much in January. So that should be a little bit of a help. So, yeah, I think the second quarter would be better. I don't think it'll be great, but I think we'll be back near that 3% that we saw back in the fourth quarter.
Yesterday, we heard Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke say he's not planning to raise interest rates, even though the dollar's value has been really low. How will that affect economic growth?
Well, at least it won't hurt it. I think low interest rates are clearly good for the economy. They're better than high interest rates. But when they're this low, you can't push any harder on that string. They're doing as much as they can.
Economist David Weiss. David, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Overseas markets are not happy about those low GDP numbers. European markets are mixed. London's FTSE is down 0.2% this morning. U.S. markets were up yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added 0.7% to close at 12,690. And from the marketplace desk of the cat calling the kettle black, the New York Times reports this morning one-time insurance giant AIG is suing several Wall Street firms for allegedly misrepresenting the riskiness of those now infamous mortgage-backed securities. AIG insured billions worth of those toxic assets and went belly up when the bonds went bust. Eve Troeh has more.
AIG is going after ICP Asset Management and one of its clients. AIG insured mortgage-backed securities for ICP. The suit alleges that ICP knew some investments were bad, but didn't say anything so that its client could make more money. Wall Street lawyer Bill Singer says AIG probably was a victim, but that doesn't mean it wasn't complicit.
It's very difficult not to roll your eyes and sort of smirk. Quite clearly, AIG did not undertake anything near adequate due diligence.
He says spreading the blame around isn't likely to make AIG look any better to investors. The company still owes the government for its $180 billion bailout. The U.S. Treasury holds most of AIG's stock and won't sell that stock until shares can fetch a high enough price to repay taxpayers. That's part of why AIG is suing.
They still have an obligation on behalf of the U.S. taxpayer to recover whatever funds they can.
AIG expects to recoup billions of dollars in this and many more lawsuits to follow. I'm Eve Troeh for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Manta.com, providing an online destination for small businesses to be found and to find new customers. More online at Manta.com.
So, not to be a Scrooge, but I think I've got royal wedding fatigue. Will Kate wear white? Will the Queen Mother cry? I don't know. Apparently, though, I am not the only one feeling a little bah humbug about the big day. Lucy Hooker has more.
Time is running out for Pete Briggs. He's a bookseller in Chesterfield in northern England. Briggs is offering sale price copies of William and Kate, A Love Story. But even at $5 a piece, there aren't many takers.
Are you selling many of the William and Kate memorial books? I bought a lot of them, anticipating they'll go well, but they haven't.
There isn't much spare cash sloshing around towns like Chesterfield. In the 30 years since William's father, Prince Charles, married Lady Diana, local coal mines have closed and jobs are still hard to find, so there's not much enthusiasm for a party. Steve Hill, in his 40s and out of work, says he'll probably just watch the highlights on the TV.
I remember for Charles and Diana, there was really a lot of celebration, street parties and things, but I can't see there being the same for this one, really. A lot of people haven't got much money, including myself, and also with the recession and with the government now sort of bringing all these sort of major cuts, I think a lot of people think, well, it's just another waste of money, really.
The government wants people to hold traditional street parties. And while some parts of the country, especially London, are hanging out the bunting and laying on the cakes, there's only one official neighbourhood celebration in Chesterfield, organised by Yvonne Stone and her husband.
Personally, I think there is a little bit of apathy towards the royal family, but it is a historic occasion and we felt that it would be nice for the children to be able to remember it. Because they'll be the generation, you know, where William will be king.
Still, most people in Chesterfield will do little more than crack open a box of royal wedding shortbread to eat in front of the TV. It might seem a shame to miss out on a party, but with Friday's forecast calling for rain, it looks like the wedding's naysayers may have made the right choice. In Chesterfield, Northern England, I'm the BBC's Lucy Hooker for Marketplace.
And finally, call it a McMakeover. McDonald's is giving a design overhaul to its 30,000 hamburger joints. No more fluorescent lighting or plastic furniture. The new McDonald's will be all about brick and wood and modern art. Well, all right, but if they start calling the Happy Meal steak-free, I'm drawing the line. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM. American Public Media.
A lot of American universities are expanding their brands into the Middle East, the Persian Gulf in particular. It's about as cost-effective as you can get.
The Gulf countries offer essentially a free ride.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Gulf states give the phrase tuition assistance a whole new meaning. We'll have the day's business news as well next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.